Happy Sabbath. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh. My dear friends, this morning, this Sabbath is a special one. At this Southern Adventist University, where the Lord would like us all to come near Him and change our lives completely. Believing will never be the same because He made me a member of the Seventh Adventist Church in 1982. If He changed me, He will do the same to each one of us. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and this happy Sabbath that you have given us for free. We would like to do something for you in our life because this is a commission that you have given us to go out and preach the gospel. May I and my friends and the audience go out and reach somebody for your kingdom because you are coming very soon. Forgive us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It was in 1982 when I became a Christian. What happened is, I was born, grown up, went to school, to college, a Muslim. And in 1981, I got sick. And in 1982, end of 1982, during my illness, the hospitals in Malawi told me that I cannot be healed because the sickness was so severe. They did not recognize what I was suffering from, even find out anything in me, in my body that was paining or causing me ill. And they said, go home and die. So I was in my deathbed for 8 months. One night, I had a dream 3 times that night. Somebody coming in a dream and say, Gordon, if you become a Christian, you'll be healed. 3 times that night. So I woke up and told my dad and mom about that dream. And being Muslims, they protested. They would rather see me die a Muslim than see me alive a Christian. But I told them, Daddy, I'm told if I become a Christian, I'll be healed, so I'm making my decision for him. In my country, the Gideons send Bibles and give Bibles to every student, college student. So I had a very tiny, small Bible that I hid in my suitcase. I told my daddy to go pick that Bible for me. Then I wrote John chapter 3, verse 16. Then after that, a miracle happened in my body. The disease went off, and I was healed. But my dad and my mom told me they kicked me out of their home. Go out, we don't want you here. And I left with my wife. That time I was only 23 years old. And we lived in a very tiny home, an abandoned place where some other people were living, and they left. So I lived there for 1.5 years. But after my healing and all what was happening in my mind, as I lived for Jesus Christ for the first time, I just have that zero passion to go out and share the gospel. And the first gentleman who was easy for me to talk to was my elder brother, Witness. His name was Witness Lapani. And I talked to him, Lord has healed me, Jesus has healed me, He can do the same with you, my brother. Then I talked about the small Bible that I had on the New Testament, and my brother said, well, I hope and think that you are doing the truth, then I'm joining you. So my other brother joined me, and we are two brothers now. During this rejection, as my father said no to me and my mom said no to me, during this period of rejection, I tried myself to still love my father because I loved him very much, and my mom, I always visited them very often and shared the gospel with them very little because they couldn't even listen to me. But the Lord did something, a wonderful thing. After 5 months of my conversion, my father became a member of the Seventh-day Adventist. And you need to know why, how I became an Adventist. Because in my area, there was no any other member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and no any other Christian church. What happened is one day I went to a marketplace 30 miles away from my home. Then right there I met a certain gentleman wearing a black suit, and he had Bibles in his hand. Then I asked him why he ordered his Bibles on Saturday. Then he told me he was a pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist. And he invited me to go to his church, which was 70 miles away from my home. So I told him I'll not go that day, then I'll go the following week. Then the following week, I rode my bicycle to that church. And I discovered that the Seventh-day Adventist has the same doctrine like the Muslims. Just like in the church, you find every Adventist is very clean, very helpful, very health. They talked about foods. Then I said, this is just like another Muslim in a Christian family. So it encouraged me to become a Christian, and then I become an Adventist. And this pastor encouraged me, say, Gordon, please, Jesus is coming again, and you are in a true church. He always came visit me with a certain a group of people out there. So this time, my brother, myself, and my sisters joined the church, and we became members of the Seventh-day Adventists. My mother rejected and said no to Adventism for long, until 1998, when she made her decision for Jesus Christ, and I saw her being baptized. There are some other things that God has done in Malawi through our ministry, ministering to the Muslims in Malawi. A few of the things that I've done, the Lord has done through my ministry, is bringing many, many souls to Christ. And he himself need to be glorified for what has been done in Malawi. I visit people in their homes and conduct Bible studies with them. I use friendship evangelism, helping the sick, pray for them, give food, use the clothing, medication, and then after Bible study, when the people are converted, we plant churches. I'd like you to see some of the things that are happening in Malawi right now. I remember in Malawi, one day I went to the paramount chief. His name is Chief Kuntumanji. I went to him to have Bible study with him. And before I went to his house, I prayed, Lord, I've done all what you told me to do in this village, reaching everybody except the paramount chief. May you, Lord, allow me do it now. May you give me courage and the strength so I can talk to him. Then I went down to his house, meet the counselors, being him the chief of chiefs. Then he welcomed me in his house. Then in our conversation, he told me that, you know, Gordon, I have been to Solusi University in Zimbabwe, and I know Seventh-day Adventists, but I cannot become a Christian. I said, my coming here is not for you to become a Christian. My coming to you here is to tell you that Jesus is coming again. And the chief was very much interested. I gave him Bible studies from Voice of Prophecy, which he started studying with me day after day. Then after a year, he made his decision for Jesus Christ, and he made his decision for baptism, and he was baptized himself and his wife. You know what? After some time, my own mother, who rejected the Seventh-day Adventist Church and said no to the church, said, I cannot wait. It was during my meeting when I was preaching at one place. I saw my mother in the crowd, and I thought she's coming to disrupt the meetings. By this time, she made her decision for Jesus Christ, and all my family members are Seventh-day Adventist members. The mistake that I made when I became a Christian was to resign from my job. I am a science school teacher, and the very big mistake that I made was to resign from my job. I just said, let me resign, then I can work full time. And my wife, Amy, said, Gordon, you are the only one educated in the family. Then if you resign from your job, how are we going to get our food? So she was saying the truth. Being a layman and not receiving salary is not easy. And living in a poor country like Malawi is not easy. And being the only working man in the family and resigning this time was not easy. But I said, I want to resign. I want to be full-time worker for Jesus Christ. And the first 5 years, I lived in trouble, my friends. Sometimes we lived without food. And Amy would come up and say, Gordon, this is what I said. We are without food today. And this is what I said. And I said, Amy, you know what? I feel the calling. I need to preach the gospel. I need to reach somebody. And he said, you see, that's why we have no food in the house. And let me tell you one story. One time, we had a drought in our country, 1985. There was drought in our country. No rain came in. And there was hunger. And we were suffering. And one morning, I saw a car driven by three white people in it. They just stopped near our house, and they were asking for Gordon Lapani. Want to go to Gordon Lapani's home? And I said, I am Gordon Lapani. And they say, we are Roman Catholics. We have come far away from Blanta, 50 miles away. We have heard that somebody is dying from hunger and is a man of God. So we have come here. Do you mind give you some food? I said, I don't mind. You give me food. So they said, we promise to give you $2, 50 kg of maize, $2, that's 100 kilograms of maize, and 25 pounds of beans, and 10 pounds of salt every month from today. So we'll be bringing them every month for you. Will you be happy with that? I said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'll be happy for that. So they were bringing food for me for 2 years. And after 2 years, they went up. I've never met with them up to now. They're all gone. That's another miracle that I saw serving the Lord. So I told Amy, you see, God is providing food for us. This is wonderful. We are serving a miracle-working God. A God who is providing us with food. And in 1986, I met a pastor, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, a missionary, who was a missionary in Blanta, Kabura Hill Church. His name was Pastor Leonard Atkins. He came from Portland, Oregon. And when he heard about me, he befriended me, and he said, Gordon, I would like you to become my friend. So we became friends. So every church that was established through our ministering to the Muslims, he would bring iron sheets for that church. So what we were doing is, we tell the people, the new covenants, to mud bricks and bend them. And Pastor Atkins brings in iron sheets and we roof the churches. So it was a wonderful mission. He comes in with iron sheets. I bring in the gospel. The people themselves bringing the mud bricks and build the walls, and the church is established. And you know, the Lord has provided 56 churches amongst the Muslim community, and 32,000 souls baptized just through that. I'm sorry to let you know that Pastor Leonard Atkins passed away some 5 years ago in Washington State, Sipokeni. I miss him. He was very instrumental to our ministry. And now after his death, six churches have no roof up to now. we need loaves from people of goodwill. And he's the one who introduced me to come to America in the year 2000. Then I preached in Philadelphia, where another miracle also happened in Philadelphia. In the year 2000, I came to America, and at that time I went to the General Conference in Canada, Toronto. And right there I met Max Church, who was under director at GC. He says, Gordon, I just have a passion that you come to America and see the headquarters of your church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, since you were a Muslim before. So I said, well, I can go with you. I came to America with Max Church. And after visiting the General Conference, Washington, D.C., I went down up to Spokane, Washington State, visiting my friend Leonard Atkins and some other people out there. Then, after that, I came back to Washington, D.C. A friend who was not an Adventist, his name is George, and his niece, Loisi, said, well, Gordon, we want to drive you to New York from Washington, D.C. So they drove me out there. But on our way and in Philadelphia, they said, let us change the car and take another one. This time we want to drive you in a Mercedes-Benz. I put all my valuables in a black bag from the General Conference. My passport, my driving license, my money, my donated monies, everything was in there. Then I put it in the truck. And we rocked it. And we started off in Philadelphia. He said, let us change these cars. And then he brings in a Mercedes-Benz. We started offloading things. I discovered that my bag was missing. And remember, it's my first time to visit America. And remember, I'm in a foreign land. And remember, I've never been to America before. And remember, I'm the only black in that community. And also, the only Seventh-day Adventist. Then these people said, Gordon, why did you do that? Didn't you know that you are in America? Why didn't you put that in your paunch and put it in the bag in your waist? I said, that heavy bag? I said, no, your money and your valuables. You could have done that. So I said, you see, I feel sorry. They said, this is ridiculous. You couldn't do this. They said, well, sorry. Can you give me a room to pray, please? So they gave me a room, and then I knelt in that room for 30 minutes. I said, Lord God, you were there when my bag was missing. Bring it back to me. I need my bag. Then after my prayer, I come out and said, where is the Seventh-day Adventist Church? And they said, we don't know where the Seventh-day Adventists are here. I said, anybody who is an Adventist will help me. And they said, nobody is an Adventist, I'm telling you, in here. And when we were talking about this, a certain old lady was walking by and he said, no, Seventh-day Adventist is 5 blocks from here. Can you go there and you meet them? So I and George and Loisi started off to that place in Philadelphia. I found a deacon outside, his name was Rodemare, standing outside there. Then I told him about my story. My bag is missing. I don't have a bag. And he said, let me go and tell the pastor. He goes into the church. 2 minutes, a young pastor comes in. His name is Andrew Harewood. He comes out. And when he sees me, I tell him, I'm from Africa. And he says, you know, your bag is found. Then I said, where is my bag? He says, Andrew tells Otamari, please, can you take him 30 miles away from here? His bag is at the police station. So they drove me to a police station. I found a police officer, very young. Her name was Phyllis Streeter. She says, it's wonderful what I saw on the road as you were driving. Our police car was behind your car. Then we saw your truck opening by itself, and something like a bird was flying from the truck. Then it fell on the tarmac road. Then we stopped our car. Then we picked it as a bag. Then we put it in a car. Then we rushed to get you, but we couldn't find you. Now we went to our office. Then we opened the Liero book, the phone book. Then we just discovered that the only phone we could call was to Mizipa Seventh Day Adventist in Philadelphia. So we've called this church, say, please come take the bag from your pastor. He's an Adventist. He's from Africa. Come and take your bag. We don't want it. And I did not open the bag because I was very much very much amazed with what happened on that door, on that tarmac road, and when the door was opening by itself. So I said, wonderful. Now, it gave me a chance to pray for police officers in Philadelphia for my first time. Then I said, let us pray. I prayed with the police officers there and told them a story about me. Then I left. Then I said, let me go to the pastor and say thank you. I went to Pastor Haywood and said, thank you. And Pastor Haywood tells me that we praise the Lord for you. We have heard about your story that you were a Muslim before. And we had been praying here for 3 days, fasting and praying for somebody who knows how to reach a Muslim. And God has given us you. So you are not going. We are going to extend your stay. So it was the first time that I preached in America, in Philadelphia, Municipal Church, and we saw 65 souls baptized in America. That's another miracle that happened. Let me show you one of the things that happened also in our ministry every day as we go. As I talked about my mom, as I talked about the church, but the churches that we establish, and you see you see myself and the leader of a mosque in Mangochi. In Mangochi, recently I went down there before I came here to preach. And there is a story also for you to know. A Muslim leader, his name is Talimanja, came to our meetings. People out there in Malawi, they sit not on chairs, but on the dust, on the soil. We don't have chairs to sit the people. I don't know if you can sit down on the floor for 6 hours. But that's what people does out there. And this Talimanja chief, and this leader, came to that meeting, and then I was preaching wearing my white robe. As I preached and made an appeal, he came, stand up, and said, Gordon, I cannot wait. I want that Jesus that you know. Then he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You see, when these things are happening in my life, I said, Lord, who am I that you can do all these things to me? People sitting on the floor. People not get tired 6 hours as I preach. Mind you, Jesus can use anybody. He can also use you. There are many other people out here who need salvation through us. We need just to surrender everything to him, to Jesus Christ. Then he can use us. He will not need our education. What he will need is our passion for his work. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need our monies. What he needs is our little talents that we have to share the gospel. When I'm speaking to these Muslims and they come to Christ, then I say, Lord, is it why you healed me for? To do your work. I praise him for what he's doing. Friendship evangelism is an essential tool. Here I've been hearing about you going out in the visiting people. We need to reach people by their needs and help them with their needs. Those who are sick, we need to pray for them. We need to help the needy people. We need to do whatever we can. We need to help each other in reaching somebody. You know, our God is a missionary God. He sent his son Jesus Christ for us. And Jesus Christ down here, after saving me, he says, go and go out and reach somebody. And that saved, and I have to go and reach somebody. And when you are reached, you need to go and reach somebody. It's something like that we need to go on and on. It's a cycle of evangelism. Go on and on. Reach somebody for Jesus Christ before he comes. We don't preach for our church. We need to preach for Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. He made me an Adventist, and I'm happy. I want to assure you, brethren, when I hear other people thinking of starting their own denominations outside the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they call themselves whatever they call them, I ask questions, why? I start asking questions, why? What is wrong? We should be true members of the Seventh-day Adventists and preach the three angels' messages. We should not get worried about people and their thinking. We should read always our Bibles and see what God wants us to do. It's only me and it's only you in the world, nobody else. We have to seek our own salvation. And even if we are troubled by any other things in our hearts, in our minds, let us go back to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm here. I am your son. I'm your daughter. You know who I am. Then be troubled by what the world is doing, by asking many questions about Jesus Christ. I repeat, he's coming again. My question is, what have you done for him in your life? What are you doing for Jesus Christ in your life? He's coming again. And this time when he is coming, he would like to take us home and we can rest out there. Where we'll never get worried about our education or whatever, about money, anything. He will give us, he will provide everything for us. I repeat, he is coming again. So we need to be ready. Let me share with you a story about the day that I shall die. Pastor Pippin has been speaking about that. And I was here. I said he was speaking about excellency. Those people who live in excellency life are the ones that will be with Jesus when he comes. So I want to tell you, when I die, because you might never die, I don't know. But when I die, I mean when I die, I'm not talking about you. Maybe you live longer. But I mean when I die, what shall happen is that people, When I die, even if I collapse out here, right here, you wrap me in a linen, a white linen cloth, and you decide to put my body in a deep freezer. And the medical personnel calls it a mortuary. You put me there. You say, no, we cannot keep him. Our love is gone for him. Then I shall be in that mortuary for I don't know how many days. Then after that, you decide to send me back home. And in my home country, people think about my coffin, my box, to put my body in there. And they shall rock that box and dig a deep hole and put me down in the soil and I'm finished. When I die, when you die, you take nothing from this earth. Nothing that we take. We are here for years and we read huge books, volumes of books, just for our degrees, to become a doctor, to become a professor. But that is what we live in the world. We purchase huge cars and huge homes to live in, but those things we leave behind when we die. We buy at least a huge everything or expensive suits to wear on, but those we leave behind. A coffin is so small, and you shall be in that coffin, and you leave all the monies in your bank that you have been troubled with to get them. You have been struggling to find them, and then you leave them in the bank. You leave everything, but we take only those things we have done for Jesus Christ. So what have you done for him? What are you doing for Jesus Christ? What are you doing for your money? What are you doing for your life for Jesus? He is coming again very soon to take us home and where we shall live forever. It's my humble prayer this morning that each one of us, this Sabbath will be a turning point. Think about Jesus Christ. And think about the day you die. We have two destiny. We go to heaven or we go to hell by our own making. You know your destiny and you know where you are going. I know where I'm going. It doesn't matter who I am. I can become a preacher, a teacher, a professor, a doctor, a pastor. Each one of us knows his destiny. My question is, where is your destiny? Where are you going? Where are you carrying your money to? Your life to? Your Bible to? What are you doing for Jesus Christ? What are you doing for your life? Are you ready to meet him? It's not Adventism that makes you there. It's not the Sabbath that makes you there. It's how you are with him, your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's how you work for him every day. My prayer is that I don't want to work and be left in that kingdom. I would like to work for Jesus Christ, and I would like to be in that kingdom when he comes. That's my humble prayer, my friend. I would like to take everything that I have for Jesus Christ, my time, my money, my talent, my everything for Jesus Christ before he comes. I would like Jesus Christ to help me lead a good life. Don't you worry. You might never be a Christian, but our destiny is hell or heaven. You might be a Muslim, but our destiny is hell or heaven. If we don't do the will of God, then we are to hell. If we do the will of God, then we are to heaven. And everybody who does the will of God reads his Bible. And when you read the Bible, it instructs you where to go and what to do and at what time. Everything is in the Bible. It's a map book for our lives. We have to accept him as our personal savior. And I repeat, he's coming again very soon. Not for anybody else, but for me and for you. Not for anybody else, not for your daddies, not for your mom, but he's coming only for you. And he's coming only for me. He says, Gordon, I love you. I would like to take you home. I would like you alone, Gordon, to be with me, where I shall never even remember all the sufferings that I've gone through. Going out preaching, footing 7 miles by foot, carrying the cartons of books to share the gospel. I shall never remember that. I shall never remember that I never had a salary on my preaching about Jesus. He shall give me his salary in heaven. He says, I'll give you eternal life. So, you know, we are serving a God who shall bring in a reward after we have served him. So he's coming very soon for you. Be wise. I repeat, he's coming again. The devil knows exactly your destiny. And he says, oh, well, this boy, this girl, this man, this woman is going to heaven. Let me do something that he, to stop him from not going there. But let us challenge him and say, I have Jesus on my side. I'm going to heaven. I want to meet Jesus Christ and himself crucified in my life. May our lives change. May we give him our lives. Let me just read a portion of scripture from the Bible. John chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He is a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Here's the little boy with the little fish, with the little bread. How far can this go? You might have a small talent in you. You might have a small money in your pocket for Jesus. You might have a small prayer that maybe sometimes it doesn't come in your mind and you say, this is not enough. But Jesus says, bring those small things to me. I'll multiply those small things in my hands. They'll come to the people and they'll reach them. And I want to tell you, it will be a multiplied gift. And thousands will be fed with the gospel. It doesn't matter what type of education you have. It doesn't matter how much you know the Bible. The little that you know, go out and reach somebody. Go out there and reach somebody and say, this is what I want to know about Jesus Christ. And you say, Jesus, fill me now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Then I can go out there and reach somebody. May you, Lord Jesus Christ, help me reach somebody with the gospel. The little things that I know, the little things that I know about you, help me with that. Jesus is here now for you and for me. And he says, give me your life. Do you have a little talent in you? Do you have some little things in you that you want to share with other people? Then you can bring many to his heart. Can we sing together hymn number 260 on the chorus? Fill me now, fill me with thy Holy praises. Come, oh come and fill me now. Maybe there's somebody who says, Lord, fill me now. I want to pray with you, my friends, this morning. If it's your desire to go out as a missionary, to help Jesus Christ reach somebody this morning, and you say, fill me now, Lord Jesus. Help me. Humble me, Lord. I want to be like you. I want to be a missionary. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Forgive all my sins. Cleanse my lips. Cleanse my mind, Lord. Help me now. I want to pray for you this Sabbath. And if it's your desire that the Lord should fill me, you now, can you just raise your hand as I pray for you? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as we are. Lord, we want you to use us as you wish, with our small talents. We might not speak well to other people. They might never even hear us well. But Lord, I would like you to transform our language to the people, that they can hear you better through us. Lord, we live in dangerous communities, like in Muslim communities. But I know you, Jesus Christ, if you can be with us, we can be in the protected hands of heaven. So protect us now. Lord, we give our hearts to you and surrender all to you, Lord. We just choose you, Jesus Christ, to be on our side. Forgive us, Lord. We want to have that life of excellency. We want to live a humble life. We want to live like you. We want to share the gospel. Lord, help us to find all means of finding materials, assistance, finding all the things that we need for evangelism, so we can go out and reach somebody. May you, Lord, baptize us with the Holy Spirit. May you give us everything that we need in a time. May you touch our hearts, Lord. May you send us to God and reach somebody. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for hearing our prayer and for blessing us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.